I want to open up to Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. If you have a neighbor, now if you're an introvert, please don't ever feel pressure to do this. No one's going to look at you funny. But if you're not an introvert, just touch your neighbor and say, get your shoes on. Get your shoes on. Get your shoes on. You'll find out why in just a minute. Matthew chapter 17. Yeah, Matthew 17, verse 1. I don't know what I said earlier, but now here's what it says. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The verse will go on to say, and then suddenly, before any response happened, a cloud appeared and the voice of God came down and said, this is my son, and gave some affirmation. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. We thank you that as we read your word, we hear it, we open it up, we would see how it would apply to our lives, that you would anoint our ears to hear it, our hearts to receive it, and our feet to walk it out every day. And we give you praise in advance for it all. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. So an interesting thing that happens here, Jesus takes these disciples up to the mountain, and again, he transfigures, and what all of that means, we're not going to get into today because that's not the point, but they see something miraculous. They see some of the prophets of old, Moses and Elijah, suddenly appear and just start talking to Jesus. This is incredible, and especially for this culture, because in the Jewish faith, Elijah and Moses were some of the major patriarchs that they followed. So you can imagine in the minds of these disciples, this was not just incredible, this was beyond incredible. This was not just Jesus raising the dead, but transfiguring and then seeing 2 prophets of old. That would be like you having a physical manifestation of Jesus standing right in front of you. Not like, you know, I think I saw it when I closed my eyes really tight. There was like a shadow. No, like Jesus appeared in bodily form, right? Like it was incredible. And I think it's so interesting, Peter's response, because I would be very much like Peter. Peter sees all of this happen and says, Lord, it is good. Can somebody say, it is good? It is good for us to be here. Now, Jesus, because all of the planners in the room, all of the note takers, all of the agenda makers, list makers, personality types, get Peter in this moment. Let me try to frame in what God has just done and bring structure to what God is doing. So he says, listen, Jesus, this is good that we're here. This is good that you're doing this. This is really cool. So let us make 3 tabernacles, a permanent dwelling place, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I can't blame Peter for his desire to stay on the mountain. Can you? I mean, he just saw Jesus transfigured. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. He just saw Moses and Elijah. He felt the weight of God's manifested glory on this mountaintop. And just as any believer would, God, let us just stay here. Let us stay here. Lord, let us dwell here. And Peter wanted to freeze this moment. He wanted to make that mountaintop his permanent address. But here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus never intended them to stay there. The mountaintop was not a destination. The mountaintop was preparation. We got to learn what is destination and what is preparation. We become creatures of habit, and sometimes we enter into a season of our life and we say, this is good. Let me just stay here. Let me not move from here, but let me just plant some stakes and stay here. But God's saying, this isn't your destination. This is just the ground for your preparation. I'm trying to preach to somebody this morning to let you know that where you thought had been your destination point, where you thought you had arrived, God's saying, it's not over yet. Get up, because come on, you weren't called to stay here. There's something beyond where you are. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, God is saying, get up, because there's something greater coming. Sometimes we fall into what I call like that conference syndrome. If you've ever been to a church conference, I've been to all kind of pastoral conferences, and man, it's great. And you come back and it's like, I just want to stay where I was. Just want to stay in that place. But had Peter stayed on the mountain, he would have missed his mission waiting for him in the valley. What's interesting here is Jesus didn't really answer Peter. Like the moment Peter says this, a cloud came and the voice of God came thundering down, and it just kind of brushed by his request. But can I tell you, I think if I could read into the text a little bit today, what I think Jesus would say to Peter with his desire to camp where he is, I think Jesus would look at Peter and say, but Peter, there's a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. You've walked past him before, so have I. But I'm leaving him for you. Because if you read the Bible, you'll know that one day Peter would encounter this man at the gate called Beautiful, and he would hold out his hands and say, do you have any alms? Do you have money? Is there something you can give me? And Peter would respond and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And when he said that, this lame man sitting at the gate, Beautiful, would jump up from where he was. Healing would manifest in his body, and his life would be changed forever. And not only his life, if you read this story, the whole city gets turned upside down and is shaken for the gospel, all because Jesus said, but Peter, you can't stay here. This is preparation, not destination. He would say, Peter, there's a woman in Joppa. She's a seamstress named Dorcas, and she blesses people with her gift of making clothes, but she's going to die suddenly and prematurely. And I can't leave you on the mountain, because I need you down there, because you're going to pray for her and she's going to rise from the dead. And you are going to strengthen, and she's going to help strengthen a church that doesn't even exist yet. He would say, Peter, there's a Roman centurion named Cornelius, and he grew up worshiping idols, but he's hungry for the truth. There's something stirring on the inside of him. And at one point in your ministry, you go to his house and you preach the gospel, and he'll become the first Gentile to be converted to Christianity. And that will shift the entire direction of the church. Why? Because they had a mentality in the early church that salvation was for the Jews only. But when Peter preached to Cornelius and he got saved, it shook everything, because now salvation wasn't just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. Are you glad that Peter didn't stay on the mountain, but he came off of the mountain and preached the gospel so that we, me and you Gentiles, could be converted in through our faith? Peter, you can't stay here, because there's a day where the Holy Spirit will fall, and thousands will gather outside of that upper room with many questions. And you're going to preach, and 3,000 people will be saved in one day. And then you'll preach again a few days later, and 5,000 more. Just shove your neighbor and say, you can't stay here. There are things waiting for you. See, I think about David, who was anointed king, and You know, I don't know. I sometimes I feel like, you know, we get this mentality that David went back, you know, after he was anointed king, he went back into the shepherd's field and he was out there fighting the lion and the bear, protecting the sheep. And sometimes we get this mentality that he was just so discouraged and so broken because, you know, he didn't become, you know, king yet, even though he was anointed. But I don't really see that in David's character, and I don't see that outlined in scripture at all. I wonder if David was just confused about the whole thing. Like, I know a prophet came and some oil flowed from a horn, but I don't know about any of that. I'm just going back to do what I know to do. And David just bought his time, left the confusion of that whole God prophet thing behind him, and stayed in the field minding his own business, taking care of his sheep, fighting off the lions and fighting off the bears. And one day his dad said, David, I need you to be the first ever pizza delivery boy. Because the Bible says he had to take bread and cheese to his brothers who were at a standoff with the Philistine giant. It wasn't that David was vying for the throne. But I wonder if he wasn't comfortable where he was in the field. But God had to push him out of the field in front of a Goliath, because he needed to show David, David, you know the field. You know your sheep. You know how to fight a lion. You know how to fight a bear. You've gained victories. You know when to wake up. You know when to lay down. You know every inch of these mountains and these valleys. But David, there's a giant in the land. And I need you to get out from where you are, because there's more giants to kill. Aren't you glad David didn't stay where he was? I'm here to shake you this morning and tell you that you can't stay where you are. God's called more for your life than where you are. Don't get comfortable. Keep your shoes on your feet, because God's saying it's about time for you to move. The mountain is for empowerment, not escape. We visit the mountain, but we fight in the valley. That's where mission happens. That's where souls are saved. That's when the church comes alive. You know, the greatest death sentence for any church ever on the human planet is when they dwell comfortably in their four walls. And man, we feel his glory. We can pray over each other. We can spin and we can dance. But God says, this is not your destiny. Tuesday, when a coworker comes up and says, I've got a migraine that I can't get rid of, that's your destiny. Come on. When you get a bad report from the doctor and you're like, I don't know what to do, everything that you've learned within the four walls of the church, that's when that faith has to come alive on the inside of you. There may not be a worship team and a choir to inspire you, but come on, that's when that faith has to rise up from the inner part of your belly and say, this is what it's all for. It's not for just the four walls of the church. It's for what happens in the valley. Come on, somebody. Go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 11 with me. This is the story of the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage, and God had given Moses some commands to them to get ready. The death angel was getting ready to pass over, but listen to the instruction here. With a belt on your waist and sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What was getting ready to happen is he was getting ready to bring them out of 400 years of bondage with the wealth of their captures laden on their back. They were coming out the most wealthy nation on the planet. And God had just reminded them, I know it's Passover, and I know you're in the cycle of tradition, and I know you do Passover the same, and I know it's the festival and it's how it looks, and I know you have rhythms about your life, but here's what I need you to know. I'm getting ready to change some things in your world. But what you need to do is you need to have your belt on. You need to have your sandals on your feet. You need a staff in your hand, because you're getting ready to eat in haste. He said, don't sit around in comfort. Get your shoes on. Get your staff in your hand. Be ready to move when I say go. And I fear too many of us have taken our shoes off spiritually, and we've gotten comfortable in cycles of waiting or in cycles of disappointment. Well, I've been waiting, Pastor, for a turnaround in this situation for 20 years. Maybe you've gotten complacent. Maybe you took your belt off. Maybe at some point you slipped your shoes off and said, well, if God does it, he doesn't. I think it's interesting he told him to put a belt on, and I looked this up this week. And one of the reasons that they would do this is that when they had to run, if you remember in Bible times, most of them wore some kind of robe or gown, and it was very hard for them to run fast with a whole gown. So if they had to run, they would actually pull their gown up so that their knees wouldn't be hindered, and they would tuck it into their belt. So when he said, keep your belt on, what he was saying is, I need your legs flexible. I need you to be able to move. When I say go, you got to be able to go. Why? Because destiny and breakthrough happen in a suddenly moment. I don't care how long you've been waiting. When God says go, it's go time. When God says turn around, it's turn around time. I think of, we talked about Peter coming to that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And when he said, what do you have, silver or gold? What Peter didn't say is, well, let me go back and let me get my inspirational teaching series on healing and I'll be back in 5 minutes. What'd he say? Such as I have, I give you. You know what that says to me? He was ready. He was ready. He lived ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do what you've been believing him to do? I've told this story many times, but I remember growing up and I wanted one of those Power Wheels trucks with all of my heart. And, you know, my mom was single with 5 kids and we couldn't afford one. And my neighbors who lived beside us, actually, their son had one and he had parked it too close to a bonfire and half of it melted. And the battery didn't work, but I said, I'll take it. And I used to push that thing around the yard like it was gold. And I remember at one time my mom had said to me, all right, well, I'm gonna go get this check. I'm getting some money. Make your list because you're getting whatever you put on that list. And you better believe I was ready. I wrote it down. I visualized, you know, in my little 8-year-old brain, hitting the gas of that Power Wheels and the rocks skidding out in the parking lot like it was ever going to do that. But Jesus said, listen, when you come to me, you have to have the faith of a child. You got to have that, come on, if God said it, he's going to do it. Come on, if he promised it, I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I don't know how it's gonna manifest, and I don't know how it's gonna turn around, and I don't know how I'm gonna get from point A to point B, but I have to live ready. And as a church, we have to live ready. We have to live with purpose. We have to live with destiny. We have to live with that sense on the inside of us that at a moment's notice, God can turn the heart of a king. That boss that you've been hitting your head against, in a moment, God can turn it around. That marriage situation that you thought could never be restored, in a moment, God can turn that situation around. The question is, are you ready? I think of Lot, who had been offered to go anywhere. And he took the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, you got to get out. You got to go. I'm trying to save you here. The Bible says that as they ran, he said, here's the only thing, only command I'm going to give you is don't you dare turn around to what was. Don't you dare look back. The Bible says that Lot's wife, in a moment, made a decision, turned around and looked at what she was running from. And she froze into a pillar of salt. The Bible, out of every woman listed in the Bible, it says, remember Lot's wife. Out of all the women, all that they did, how they spread the gospel around the world, remember Lot's wife. Why? Because when you start to look back, you're not living ready and you're not moving forward. I believe that God is ready to lead you out of your past and into a new season because you can't stay here. I believe as a church, he's calling us out of where we've been into a new season, and he's saying you can't stay here. You can't get stuck in your current scene. But I believe today God wants to turn the page of your story. You know, Murphy's Law says that if you need to move quickly, one shoe will always be missing. Have you ever tried to get your kids ready for church on a Sunday morning? There's always a shoe missing, right? And listen, some of us are going to be caught barefoot if we don't stay ready for God's suddenly. So get ready to travel. Get ready for change. Get ready for your address to change. Get ready to get out of Egypt. Get ready to get out of where you've been stuck. Get ready to receive what God has promised you. You might say, well, there's a pretty bold claims. Listen, I didn't make him. He said that I'm not a man that I should lie. And what he promised in his word, he is going to do. I don't know when, and I don't know how. I don't know how he's going to get you from here to there. That's not my problem, and frankly, that's not your problem. All you have to do is stay ready with an open heart. But see, when you start taking your shoes off and you start settling where God's never called you to settle, when your suddenly comes, you're going to miss it. What happens is when we settle and we back down, we start to say things like, well, maybe I misinterpreted what God said. Maybe that's not what he meant. Maybe all this faith stuff is not real. Signs that you're drawing back, that you're settling. But I believe, come on, a new season's coming for you. It's coming for your house. Your family's going with you. Come on, no one's going to get left behind. Your children are going to serve God. Your church is going to explode in revival. I believe a new season is coming. Come on, we've stayed here long enough. Somebody shout, it's time to move. Israel had been slaves for so long, they accepted it as normal. And even when God brought them out, they had this lingering desire to go back to how it was before, because there's always comfortability in the familiar. Can I tell you, familiarity is the enemy of your destiny. Familiarity is the enemy of your destiny. When we get too comfortable, we get too reliant on what we know, and we stop trusting God with the unknown because we surround ourselves with just what we know. So God has to step in and say, I have to shake up your life a little bit, because God will never require a life, or excuse me, God will never create for you a life that makes him unnecessary. So as soon as we get comfortable, God comes in and says, oh, really? I'll shake everything that can be shaken. God, why is all this happening? Because you're not ready. You're not living ready. You're not living for that next moment, that breakthrough, that turnaround, that God experience. We've gotten too comfortable with being comfortable. Sometimes we get in bondage to our bondages, right? We get in bondage to our addiction and our fear and our depression and our hopelessness. But God's word to us today is, get your shoes on. Get your staff in your hand. Get your garments ready. Because when he says move, it will be a suddenly. Do you believe that? Isaiah 43:18 reminds us, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? So funny, would even have to bring that up. Like he would have to say, do you not perceive it? He could have just said, behold, look, I'm doing something. And just there'd be an understanding that everybody was seeing it. But he had to say it because the reality is most times he'll do something new and significant, but we won't see it. Seasons are changing, but we won't see it. Something has shifted, but we don't see it. That's why he said, come on, you got to be like the sons of Issachar in the Bible, who were divinely skilled at knowing the times and the seasons of God. So don't let yesterday's memories rob you of tomorrow's miracles. I'm here to encourage you today that the best is not behind you. The best is still ahead of you. You're not done and it's not over. God's not through. Listen, I think about the Israelites and when they went to cross the river, science has shown that, our historians really have shown that the horizon was about 14 miles away and they could only see to the horizon. But 18 miles is where they were going. So what does that teach us? When God said walk, all they could see was the horizon. They couldn't see the other side of the shore. See, we think they approached the sea and they were like waving to the other side. Hey guys, we're coming, get ready. All they could see was the horizon. They didn't even know how far. Come on, it's not like us. We didn't have, you know, GPS to tell us how, look how big the river is, it's gonna take us. All they could see was the horizon. They didn't know what was on the other side. The boldness and the faith. I know it was a miracle to watch a sea open up. I get that. But it's a whole other thing to say, I can't see the other side of it. I don't know how long it's going to hold. I don't know, am I going to be out of it when it crashes down? Is this God? Is this the devil? What is happening right now? Come on, you've been in there. Is this God? Is this opportunity God? Is this the devil? What's going on in my life? But they had to take a step of faith forward and walk even when they couldn't see what was on the other side. But it was through that act of obedience that they walked out of where they were into their promise. Sometimes all you can see is the horizon. Sometimes all you can see is what's right in front of you. But that's when faith steps in. So I just want to encourage us this morning, church. I know as a church, we have a lot of change happening. I know a lot of transition. But I believe what happens in the house also happens in your life. So I can only guess there are things changing in your world. Transitions happening. What I'm believing is as we take a step of faith and we say, all right, God, we're going to open up more opportunities for people to come and worship, more opportunities for people to connect, to know God. We're taking a step from where we are to where God's called us. And I want to encourage you because I believe there's probably areas in your life today where you've gotten comfortable, where you've gotten complacent, where you believed that this is it. People ask me, well, why do you always preach faith so much? Well, after 21 years, here's what I have found is the fight isn't to keep you not believing God, like because you're coming in believing him for too much. You understand? Like very few people are coming in and I'm like, whoa, tone it down a little bit. You're putting too much demand. No, that's not. Most of the time we're coming in discouraged. We're coming in with the fight of yesterday, with discouragements all around us, life happening, culture happening, and our faith is getting weak. And sometimes that's why I got to stand up here and I got to say, get your shoes on. Keep yourself ready. Don't back down from believing that God is still God, that he's still on the throne, that he can still do what he said he would do, that he still has a plan and a purpose for your life, that your destiny is not over or finalized yet, that God is still in control of your future. So get yourself ready. Keep your shoes on. Get your belt on. Get your staff in your hand, because if he says go, you got to be ready. Come on, somebody. Transition must be prepared for. Why? If not, you're going to trip over your garments. You don't believe this is true. Think of the, listen, when he came back, do you remember the story of the 10 virgins who half had their lamps full and ready? And the Bible says the bridegroom came and the ones without oil were left. Why? They stopped living ready. Listen, I know this world is what it is. I know it's easy to, as followers of Jesus living in a world that's very counter Christianity, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like it's the world against you. But let me just remind you that your Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, when no one least expects it, you're getting out of here. You're leaving this world. He's coming for his church. Just like that. But are you ready? He said there is that moment where he will split the eastern sky and come back on a riding on a white horse, touch down on the mountain of Olives, and waters will flow from it. You know, I love when science catches up with the Bible. They didn't know about water coming from the Mountain of Olives. But not too long ago, they found one of the Earth's largest springs of fresh water directly underneath the Mountain of Olives. And when the writers write, when they wrote that, when they prophesied that, when Jesus spoke that, they didn't know there was a well. They didn't know there was a natural spring getting ready to burst forth. So what I'm saying is just be ready. Get your faith up. Get your hope up. Tell fear and doubt, get out of here. Come on, God is still God. Team, you can come. So where have we shifted in our faith? Where have we allowed discouragement to come in? Like Peter, we want to stay on the mountain. Let's camp here. Let's dwell here. But God says you can't stay here. There's a new season ahead. There's victory waiting. And my question for you today is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? But listen, the Bible says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. You will receive whatever it is you are believing God for. So if you believe that God's forgotten you, and you believe that tomorrow will be no different than today, if you believe that situation is hopeless, as your faith is, so be it unto you. But I got some people in the room with me this morning, I know it, that your faith is rising on the inside of you. Let's stand to our feet now. Your faith is rising on the inside of you even now. And things are popping up in your mind and you're saying, you know what? I've let discouragement in. I've let things sidetrack me. I've let all kind of this stuff overwhelm me. But today I'm walking out of here full of faith, full of victory, believing that I'm gonna see it again. So let me pray for you now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for every person in the room. Father, I believe that faith is rising on the inside of us right now. I believe you're doing a significant work. I believe that where doubt and unbelief and fear have crept in and tried to keep us bound, I believe that right now in the name of Jesus, that is leaving, it's fleeing in the name of Jesus, that burden is broken in the name of Jesus. Doubt is bowing its knee in the name of Jesus, and faith is rising on the inside of us. That Father, we are gonna be people who are ready. We're gonna look forward to what you have and not back. We're gonna be ready for when you say go, we will go. And we believe in Jesus' name that the best is not behind us, but it's ahead of us. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say amen.